Good to see each of you here today. Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 10. Help us to be doers of your word, not hearers only. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 187. 187.
Thank you. Good story.
Can't say a whole lot about that. I think the Lord already spoke to us through the words of the music. Words of music here. Verse 5, again, a life of joy and peace. It's there. And it's only by His grace.
Right.
Only by His grace. As we've noted in Sunday school already, this world is a pretty messed up place. And yet we have the blessed hope. If we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And in spite of what this world throws at us, we already know, because He said it, that the Lord Jesus has already overcome the world.
Amen.
So we can have peace.
Yes.
In spite of the circumstance.
Yes.
Are we right to be concerned about this life and what it may hold for us? Sure. But we can't dwell upon it. We have to leave it in the Lord's hands. All right. Announcements this morning. Just a couple of things. One, we have a service scheduled for this evening at 6:30 p.m. Brother Welton will still be here. Hope he'll come back and be with us tonight. We hear more from the Word of God, so hope he'll come and be with us tonight at 6:30 p.m. And then also this coming Wednesday night, we'll be having our annual Thanksgiving Eve service at 7 p.m. Wednesday night. We always have a great time of fellowship. We'll be singing some good songs. And, hopefully there'll be some good testimonies of what God has been doing in our lives so far this year. And then, in spite of the circumstances, as we already mentioned. And then hopefully Brother Myers will be with us this Wednesday night. He'll be giving a small challenge from the Word. He wasn't able to be with us last Wednesday because of illness, but hopefully he'll be feeling better and be able to come and be with us. Following that time, hopefully he'll bring some good finger foods and desserts. A good time of fellowship downstairs. So he'll come and be with us on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. and be with us. Jason, do you want to reissue that announcement, or do you want me to do it? Okay. We want to pray for the church where Brother Myers and his family attend, Open Door Baptist Church there in Lebanon. Their pastor, Brother Griffith, just went home to be with the Lord yesterday. We had mentioned several times that he had very advanced cancer, and there was no treatment that they could really do for him. And so they weren't sure how long he would remain, and the Lord saw fit to take him home yesterday, so we need to pray for that church. And 3 years ago, we experienced the same thing. So all of us, I believe, understand the grief and the difficulty that they're facing right now. And let's pray for them. Why don't we take a moment and pray for that right now? Father, we thank you for the faithful men who have come to be here and be in our pulpit while we look for a pastor. Brother Myers has been one who has been very helpful to us in recent days and months. And we do pray for the church where they go, Open Door Baptist Church there in Lebanon. I know some of the folks there, some good people. And you have saw fit to take their pastor home. So we pray that you would guide and direct the leaders of the church that remain, that you would guide and direct them to the man that you would choose to take that work and keep it going as you see fit. We do not know how much longer we will be here, and we pray that in the time that remains, that we will all be faithful in doing the work you've called us to do, in spite of the world, the flesh, and the devil that are all against us. Use us today for your honor and glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That's all the announcements I have for right now. So why don't we take our hymn books once again, turn to the very back, beyond the index, 814. 814, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Thank you.
801.
Amen.
Go to 801.
That one was before the index.
Thank you.
That was a good one.
That hymn says, and when I think that God not sparing.
Yes. Come on now.
I couldn't even sing it this morning. That God would love me so much. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would love me that much. Not just to save me, but to give me a home in heaven. Brother, I was thinking the other day, look, I don't know what heaven holds, but I'm not there going there because of heaven. I want to see Jesus. I don't know about y'all, I want to see Him. And if I can get through the crowd close enough to Him, I just want to see Him, and I just want to fall down at His feet, and I just want to thank Him. I think the Lord understands, I think the Lord will understand when I make this statement, I really don't care what heaven looks like. I just want to see my God. I want to see the one that truly loves me. Not that we can't have people to love us here, but He loves us with a love that can't be comprehended. And that He was willing to die for us. I'm amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene how He could love me, a sinner, unclean. He loves us this morning. He'll forgive us this morning. And He's made a way for us to be accepted. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's interesting what we sang this morning. If you all would please stand and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. If you please stand, if you can, please stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse number 16. First Thessalonians 4, verse number 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, dear God. I thank You for just a privilege to be in a church this morning, Lord. A privilege to have Your word in our hands, dear God, that we can open up, we can read it. Lord, a privilege this morning to have voices to sing out to You, Lord. There's some people today, Lord, they can't talk, but we have the ability this morning, most of us, Lord, I believe, to lift up our voices and to praise You and to give You glory and give You honor because You deserve it all, Father. And Lord, I just ask for wisdom this morning. Lord, I have nothing to give, dear God. Lord, just a sinner saved by grace. And I pray, Lord, that You just lead, God, and direct, dear Lord. Give the words that are needed. Father, help us, encourage us, Lord, just to continue on in this fight for You. Lord, that we would love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I want to look for a little bit this morning at these verses here, and actually we're not going to spend much time in the verses that I just read because we're going to move on into chapter number 5, but I wanted to start it with verses 16 through 18 that we have in our mind this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ at any moment, at any time, could come home to catch His bride away. At any moment this can happen, and the Lord here uses Paul to write to the Thessalonians, and he says to them here in the very end, he says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore? Because of these things in verses 16 and 7, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And it kind of goes along and dovetails with what we were talking about this morning about peace and about being of cheer. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome this world. And not only has He overcome this world, but He's coming back someday to take us home to be with Him forever in heaven. The Bible says in chapter number 5, then Paul goes on and says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Okay? And we kind of looked at some of those things this morning about the tribulation that takes place in this world. But before we look at that in verse number one, comfort. What does it mean to have comfort? It means to strengthen. Strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, or enliven. Paul says, because the Lord's coming back, you're to comfort one another, you're to invigorate one another, you're to strengthen one another, you're to enliven one another. Why? Because the Lord's coming back. To strengthen the mind when depressed or enfeebled. To console, to give new vigor to the spirit, to cheer or relief from depression or trouble. That is comfort, and that is what not only the Lord can do for us, but what we ought to do for others. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. God forbid that he comes back and he finds us, as we look here a little bit later on, sleeping. Or in a state, like I said in Sunday school, I know I'm repeating myself, but in a state, in an anxious state. No, God forbid that he should come back and we're in a depressed and down state and worried about all that we see going on in the world. No, God would have us to be happy, to be cheerful, to be comforted, knowing that he's coming back to take his bride home someday. Not only are we to be comforted with the fact that the Lord Jesus will soon someday call us home to heaven, there's another reason why we can have comfort this morning. And that's because we can have comfort, because we can have fellowship, we can have healing, and we can have deliverance today because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Take your Bible, if you have a Bible this morning, and look over at Mark chapter number 10. Not only can we have comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ can come back at any moment, we can have comfort in knowing that he's with us right now. Mark chapter number 10, chapter 10 and verse number 46. Look at the attitude here, Mark chapter 10, verse number 46, of blind Bartimaeus. Verse number 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with the disciples, with a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting there by the wayside. He was blind. He couldn't see nothing. But he heard Jesus passing by. He knew that Jesus was passing by, and he cried out to Jesus. He cried out, had a heart towards the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. But as he's crying out to Jesus, he has others saying, be quiet, hold your peace. No, we ought this morning to cry out to our precious Savior. If there's something troubling your heart this morning, cry out to Jesus. Don't let the enemy of your soul say it's not worth it. He doesn't hear you. Cry out to him anyways, because Jesus Christ will hear your cry. And as he cried out, Jesus heard him. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still and he commanded for him to be called. And when he commanded for him to be called, blind Bartimaeus, everything that he had, that garment, he tossed it aside and he came to Jesus. If you read previously in this chapter, the Lord dealt with that rich man. And that rich man wouldn't come to Jesus because the Lord told him to go sell all that he had, and he went away grieved. Here, blind Bartimaeus has nothing, and he's willing to give up even that he has to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord heals him. And the disciples just say, be of good comfort, because the Savior calls you. Jesus has called us to comfort, and he can give us comfort this morning. Now look back over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but at the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And the reason for this is that no one knows the exact return of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that got charts, they got dates, they got times, they got seasons, they got years that they think of, but nobody knows when Jesus Christ will return. And we ought not to spend our time trying to figure out when he'll return, but to be about the Lord's business. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "When they therefore came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel, or restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Brethren, don't worry about when the Lord comes back. Be about his business. Amen. Talked a couple weeks ago about being a good soldier. The Lord's giving you orders this morning. Find out what your orders are and be about the Father's business. And you'll know when it's time to come home. Amen. We'll all know. Immediately, we'll all know in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that trump, when it sounds, when that voice of that archangel shouts out, you'll know what the order is then, and that's come home. But be about the Father's business. Be about the Father's business. Now look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at verse number 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Paul tells them here, he's like, listen, you know that the Lord's coming back. Don't be worried about the time or the hour or the year. But be about the Lord's business, for yourselves know perfectly that he's going to come as a thief in the night. So he likens our Lord's coming as a thief. A thief comes unexpectedly upon a victim or a home. Usually, there's no foreknowledge or premonition that your home may be burglarized or you may be robbed. Most of the time, a thief is not going to broadcast when he's getting ready to rob your home. He's not going to send you an email. He's not going to send you a post letter. He's not going to send you a text. He's not going to give you a call and say, at this hour, I'm coming into your house and you better be ready because I'm getting ready to take some of your stuff. No, he comes unexpectedly. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Brethren, every morning you wake up, it's something I've tried to do now for a while. I try to literally pray and put on the armor of God every morning. I sometimes even go through the hand motions. You may think I'm crazy, but I ask the Lord, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of spirit, the shield of faith, the loins girded about with truth, your feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, I'm armoring myself up to get ready for today's battles so that I can stay faithful for my Lord. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans to put on the armor of light. Put on that armor, get ready for today's battle, because today could be the day that the Lord calls us home. Let us not sleep as others do. Let us not be caught up with all that's going on in the world, but be about our Father's business and what he's called for us to do today. Amen. Each one of us are soldiers, and each one of us has a plan that God has for our life. We cannot be distracted. Unfortunately for the lost, sudden destruction comes upon them in the world after the Lord takes his bride home to heaven. Verse number 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety. Brethren, don't put your trust in what the news is saying. Look, I'm looking for the last trump, not for Donald Trump. You understand? Now, I would rather have him there. Understand what I'm saying? But my hope's not in him. All right? My orders don't change whoever's in the presidential office. And our orders ought not change either. Okay? So I'm looking for that last trump. I want to be faithful to where I get home to heaven someday and the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those are the words that I want to hear. I don't care about medals. I don't care about what anybody else says. I just want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. I want to see him and I want to hear those words. That's what I want to strive for. Therefore, put on the armor. Put on the armor every day you wake up, whenever you wake up. If you work night shift, do it whenever you wake up. Whenever you start your day, put on the armor of God because the Lord says to put on the armor of God. Brother, we deal against principalities and powers. Take it. Look over at Ephesians chapter number 6 real quick. Ephesians. Look at chapter 6 and look at verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Paul says here to the Ephesians, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Which means that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? So there is the possibility and the opportunity for us to be strong and powerful in God's might. It's there. The victorious life to live for Jesus Christ is there and possible. It's not an impossibility. It's there, but then he goes on to give us some keys about how we can be that way and what we're facing. Look at verse number 12, or verse number 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Brethren, look, when we step out these doors, and even now, look, the devil's doing everything he can to try to upset the apple cart. As I said in Sunday school hour, he doesn't want you having peace. He doesn't want you having comfort. He doesn't want you having joy. Because he knows if you don't have those things, then you're in a defeated state. And he can easily walk over you. The Bible says here, "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? That you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look, the Lord Jesus Christ is not asking for you to take territory. He's asking for you to stand. Stand there, having your loins girt about with truth. Stand there for the Lord Jesus Christ and be that light and testimony for him. Most people can't stand up for Jesus Christ because they're too concerned about what others might say or think. The Lord's asking for you to just stand. Just stand. Why? Look at verse number 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Our battle is not what we can see in front of our eyes physically. We think that's our battle. We think that that person at the grocery store that just gave us an attitude, that that's who we're going to wrestle with. But so often I believe sometimes there's a spirit behind it that's doing something to get you agitated for you lose your testimony to that lost soul. And they don't even realize it's happening. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against, look what it says, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, the problem is not in Washington. The problem's not Congress. The problem's not the Supreme Court. The problem is spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the battleground. Brethren, this thing is a lot higher than Joe Biden. Do you hear me this morning? He's a puppet. And most of the people in Congress and the Supreme Court are puppets. Most of the people there are Roman Catholic. Let's be honest this morning. We must be about our Father's business. Brother, I'm reading a book right now that was written back in 1994. And it was talking about how the Catholic Church was trying to destroy this nation before the Civil War. They were trying to infiltrate government, get in positions of judges, get in positions of magistrates, get in positions of congressmen and congresswomen, whatever you want to say. This was back before the Civil War. We're talking 1820, 1830s, and even before that, they were trying to mess stuff up with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. Most Americans have no clue about that kind of history. I could read some passages out of that book and you think it's right now. It was back in the 1800s. They were stirring up riots within this country. New York City, I think it was like 30,000 people died in New York City because of riots they stirred up. Back in the 1800s. If I had read the article in that book, you would have thought it happened today. Brethren, let's not lose our focus this morning. Understand what I mean. Well, I'm not here at this church this morning because I'm worried about my job I might have or how much money I make. I'm here because God would want me to be here. That's the only reason I'm here. And the only reason I'm doing the things I'm doing is because I'm living for my Savior. I love my country. So don't get me wrong. I serve for my country. But my country is not who I live for. I live for my Savior, Jesus Christ. And whether I was here, or the time I was down in Haiti, or the time I was in the Dominican Republic, or the time I was in South Africa, or the time I was in Congo, or wherever I was, Germany, I'm living for my Savior no matter what government I'm underneath. But see, Christians today, we get focused on what we see physically. That's not what you see. There's a thing behind that. There's a spiritual run behind that, and we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware that there's spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore, because of these facts of verses 11 and 12, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Brethren, the evil day is going to come. When they say peace and safety, look, if they came out tomorrow and said peace and safety, everything's going to be good, don't trust it. As the Bible says, they'll say peace and safety, then immediately sudden destruction cometh upon them as a woman in travail. So even if our government came out tomorrow and said everything's fine, it's going to be peaceful, the economy's going to go through the roof, everything's wonderful, you should not put your faith and trust in it. Because the Bible says not to. My faith and trust is not on Wall Street. My faith and trust is not in my IRA. My faith and trust is not in my retirement system. My faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that will never let me down. What happens when all your faith and trust is in those things and it goes by the wayside? Remember a few years ago, I think it was the Lehman Brothers or something that happened a few years ago with the stock exchange or something, and all those people lost all their retirement systems or their retirement funds. Happened a couple years back. But they didn't see that coming. And I hate it for them. I'm not saying that I'm happy in it. I'm saying that if your faith and trust was in it, it just poof, disappeared. But if your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word, though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore. Look, my faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what His Word says. You all do a good thing here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. You're trying to memorize Scripture. You're hiding God's Word in your heart so that the times that maybe even if this got taken away, they can't take away the Word of God in your heart. And you can stand on it saying, I know God loves me. I know God cares for me because His Word says so. And even if you take the physical Bible away from me, you can't take it out of my heart. And I can stand on it. I can rest assured on it no matter everything goes wrong around me. I'm afraid today for too many Christians, they're placing too much trust in our government than in Jesus Christ. Trump is not my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Trump didn't die on a cross for me. Jesus Christ died on a cross for me. Trump ain't going to raise up from the grave by himself in his own power, but Jesus Christ rose from the grave and he sits right now on the right hand of the Father in heaven. I serve my Savior. Am I thankful for what my president has done? Absolutely. He's done some wonderful things for Jerusalem and Israel. But he's not my Savior. Will I respect him? Yes, I'll respect him. I'll respect the office, yes. But I'm trying to get the point across this morning that I'm not trusting in what's happening out there. I spent a few minutes watching the news and it drives me crazy. Like I get so depressed so quick, I can't watch it because that's my personality. My personality is like, hey, this is going to happen. I'm like, oh, we might just give up. So I can't watch stuff much because I get discouraged because I'm a human being. Be about our Father's business. Please understand what I'm saying this morning. I love my country. I'm glad we got the government we have. I'm glad we don't have a dictator like Fidel Castro or how they have it down there in Haiti to where there is no police department. What police department they got is completely corrupt. Brethren, I was passing between the border of Haiti and the Dominican Republic one time, and I had no translator with me. The one that went with me was a Haitian, and I spoke just a tiny bit of Haitian, and he spoke just a tiny bit of English. And we were going through the border from the Dominican into Haiti. I gave the Dominicans my passport, and they took it. They said $400 cash. I ain't got $400 cash. You got to have $400 cash because you're from New York City and you're American. They think everybody that's white down there is from New York City and has money. I said, first of all, I'm not from New York City. And number two, I ain't got no money. They said, well, you ain't getting your passport back till you get $400 cash. And they were saying that I didn't do my passport right. Well, I did do my passport right and I had all the paperwork for it. I said, no, I'm not giving you the money. I said, give me my passport back. No, we ain't giving you your passport back. I said, all right, I'm leaving. See you. And as I'm walking away, the Haitian guy that's with me, he's looking at me like, this American's crazy. They're trying to extort me because they think I got money. So you're in a country to where, look, it's corrupt. Our country's corrupt. It's not what it used to be. This is not corrupt. My Savior is not corrupt. My salvation is not corrupt. And at that last trump, me going out of this planet, off this planet up there, that's not corrupt. It'd be perfectly fine when I go home to heaven. We don't wrestle against principalities. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities, powers. Put on the whole armor of God, that you stand in the evil day. It's an evil day, brethren. And having done all, just stand. All God wants you to do, all the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do is just stand. The Bible here in these passages is not, God's not asking for you to take ground. These passages right here are just saying, just stand. Just stand for what's right. When the opportunity presents itself, just stand for what's right with the right attitude. That's another thing that we're missing today in a lot of churches. We ain't got the right attitude. We're standing, but we're offending people because of our stinky attitude rather than the Word of God offending them. And we're giving them an excuse. No, we ought to have the right attitude as we stand firm. Verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. Always be ready to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those darts are going to come flying at you, brethren. Make sure you got that shield. And those fiery darts, you say, Brother Chris, where are they going? They're going right for your head and your heart, your mind. That's again why you got to be careful what you subject yourself to and your ear gate and your eye gate. How can the enemy affect us? By what comes in right here and what comes in right here. What we see and what we hear. Look, the Bible says, mine eye affects, Jeremiah said, my eye affects what? My heart. So what you're looking at, I don't care what it is, if you're looking at it, it's affecting your heart. The more you look at this and read this, the more it'll affect your heart. The more you spend time in front of your phone or television or anything like that, it's going to affect your heart for good or bad. There can be some good things on a phone or on a television. I'm not saying there can't be, and it can affect you for good. But there also can be bad things too that can affect you for bad. My eye affects my heart. Brethren, it's true for all of us. And the enemy is a master of distraction. Let me get you distracted over here, doing something over here, off the path, and now you're in trouble. I showed the kids at the juvenile center where I work at, down there with those troubled kids, and I got a bunch of pictures that I printed out, and a bunch of them are copperheads or rattlesnakes as they're in the woods, on the ground, in the leaves. And it takes some of them, the pictures are pretty good, the snakes are pretty well camouflaged, and it's hard to see the snakes. I mean, unless it's in the picture, if it was out there in the woods, bro, like you go hiking sometimes, you ain't seen it unless you really, really, really looking for them. Because that's how well they get camouflaged in the ground. And so I say to him, I said, look, I'm showing you these pictures and it's hard for you to see where the snake's at. But if I were to take a rattlesnake right now in this church and drop it down right here and somebody were to walk through that door, immediately they would see that snake because it has no camouflage. It is out in the open. But look, when you start wandering off in the woods, now when you're going to start getting in trouble, if you stay on the right path, doesn't mean that the snake ain't going to come across your path. You'll be able to see him quicker. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you get distracted in the things of this world, you're walking off into the woods, you're getting off the path a little bit, and it's going to be a lot harder to see that snake. And it's going to give that snake a lot of great opportunity to strike you in the heel and mess you up in your mind or in your heart. And there's a lot of Christians that are getting sidetracked and they're getting knocked out of this race because they're spending too much time in the world instead of the things of God. Brethren, down at our church down there, I just think sometimes it brings tears in my eyes. So 20 years I've been down there, how many brethren have come through? Good brethren, brethren I still love, and they're gone now. Marriages busted, kids off doing all kinds of crazy stuff, things you would never expect kids to do, never expect a brother or sister to do in Christ, and they're out there doing it. You say, well, they're probably not saved. No, I think some of them are saved. They just got off the path. You can get yourself into a mess being saved. You get yourself in a big mess being saved. Stay on the path. And you'll see when that snake comes across the path. It'll be a lot easier to deal with when you can see him on a path than having to try to think that maybe he's somewhere here in these woods. Be careful what you spend time in. Now look back over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I kind of went off track this morning, but I'm going to try to pick it up here in the very end. Look at verses 6 and 6 through 8. We're going to skip down to verses 6 through 8. Look what Paul tells them. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Brethren, let this church be a church that's wide awake, ready to serve God. Wide awake, ready to be about our master's business. Therefore, it says, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Let us who are the day be sober. Here it is again, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, because of the things in verses 1 through 5, he says, therefore, let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober. He says that there's those out there that will sleep in the night and they'll be drunken. What are some things about a drunk this morning? Somebody that gets drunk. What happens to somebody that gets drunk with alcohol or gets inebriated by drugs or alcohol? One of the things about them is become their eyes get affected and they get forgetful. Their eyes get affected and they forget things. Now, I was a state trooper for a number of years, and we did a test called the horizontal gaze nystagmus. I think I'm saying that right. Right? So you just take that pen and you put it up in front of their eyes, and they just stand there, and you say, look at the pen, and follow the pen with your eyes. And they're following the pen with their eyes. And when the pen goes off to the side over here, their eyes, when they're off to the side, you tell that they've drunk a lot of alcohol, because when their eyes go off to the side and they hold it there, their eyeball's going, it's shaking, like a look. And they can't stop it. Like it's involuntary. So it's not like they can hide it or fake it. It's automatically, you know, you're drunk or you're high on something. Their eyes get affected and they get forgetful. Well, where were you coming from? I don't know where I was going. They have no idea where they're coming from. They get forgetful. 2 Peter chapter 8, or 2 Peter chapter 1, if you turn there real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse number 8. Again, I'm not going to read the things prior to this, but this is what happens when you don't do the things that were written in verses 5 through 7. All right, 2 Peter, chapter 1, look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you, verses 5 and 6, you can read them later on, or 5 through 7. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If you don't add to your faith virtue and a virtue knowledge and temperance and godliness and brotherly love, and if you don't add to your faith, if you're not continually trying to walk with God and grow in the graces of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can get to a point to where you lack these things and you become blind and forgetful of what God's done for you. You act just like a drunk because you're not doing what the Bible says to do. Second thing about a drunk, he staggers. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 22 says, and being not weak in the faith, talking about Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So what happens if you have unbelief? You're going to start staggering at the promises of God and you're going to be just like a drunk. Brethren, this stuff's serious. Because there's a real enemy out there for our souls. And he wants to knock off any good Christian that's trying to live for God. He's trying to knock you out of the race. And if you're lost, he's trying to keep you bound down to where you don't come to God. This thing's real. This battle's real. This walk with God is real. It's a real fight. It's a real battle every single day. Don't stagger at the promises of God. Well, how do you start staggering? Unbelief. Believe what the Bible says. Stand upon what the Bible says. Number three, a drunk does, he's got slurred speech and he's dull of hearing. Any drunk that's got a lot of alcohol in him or something, he's slurring his speech. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." How is your speech this morning? Is it a sound speech? Is it a godly speech? And lastly, many drunks often smell, and they're often disheveled. Their clothes are often a mess. You can smell the alcohol on them. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 13 through 17 say, the Lord says, "Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are troubled. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow." 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Cleanse," I'm paraphrasing, "cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh." James, again, my brother said it this morning during the singing, let us not be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Lastly, look at Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 18. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 18. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 18. I'm sorry, verse number 8. Well, look at verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And look down at verse number 18. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I'm going to close this morning. I'm not going to finish with the last part there. God's not appointed us to wrath. I'm not going to look at that this morning. I want to close here, though, of us being a sweet smell, a sweet savor that goes up to our Heavenly Father. Our lives will be pleasing in his sight. That's my desire this morning. Oftentimes I fail. Oftentimes I fall short. But like I preached a couple weeks ago, get back up and keep fighting. You get knocked down, get back up again. You fall short one day, get back up again. Ask God to forgive you. Keep fighting and keep being that sacrifice for him that would be well-pleasing, not only in the smell, but also in the sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this morning, Lord. I thank you for these brethren, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that they've given me to be here today. Lord, I thank you for their generosity, Lord, and just their love. But Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, that we would be sober, that we'd be vigilant, Lord, that we'd be about our Father's business. Dear God, because that last trump, the voice of the archangel, in a twinkling, in a moment of an eye, Lord, you can come back and receive us home to heaven. And Lord, help us to be ready for that day. Help us to stay faithful. Help us to keep fighting a good fight. And Lord, help us if there's lost souls out there this week, dear Lord, that we come across. Lord, I pray you provide open doors. Lord, I pray you provide open doors to talk to somebody about their soul and where they truly stand with you. And Father, I pray this all now in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to 361. 361.
Till we meet again.
here, there, or in the air.
Amen.
We don't know when we'll see each other again. God may send us our separate ways to do His work, or He might call some of us home, and we won't see each other again until we get home to heaven. So I think this is a prayer that we should be praying all the time.
Amen.
All right. Well, it's been a good day so far in the Lord. Hope you'll come back and be with us again tonight at 6:30 p.m. and look forward to hearing more from the Word of God. All righty. You're dismissed. Have a good day.